You are listening to WSIU In Focus. I'm Jennifer Fuller. Our guest is State Representative Terry Bryant. Representative, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Jennifer. It's always a pleasure to be here.
We're just getting underway in a new legislative session, so we can't talk a lot about legislation because there's just not a lot there yet. But what are you thinking about for the spring of 2019?
There's a couple good pieces of legislation that I've been included in as a chief co-sponsor. One that I'm sponsoring in particular. The first, there's a constant call for what we're going to do with TAMS Correctional Center. Technically, TAMS Correctional Center is just outside the 115th District, but a whole lot of folks that worked there certainly are in the 115th District. I represent the southern part of Union County. It's very important economically to them that either the prison go in or some other form of industry. Just to think about the direction that's gone at several times for an attempt to reopen. There was some conversation under the Rauner administration to sell the property to a movie studio and make that the southern Illinois region for making prison films around the country. So we're seeing, my mother lives outside Atlanta, and we're seeing all the things that Tyler Perry is doing in the Atlanta area and Georgia. We had kind of hoped that maybe we could do that at that TAMS facility. No interest in it. And then also a little historical background on it. When I first filed a resolution 4 years ago to try to get the TAMS Supermax reopened, I remember I had a conversation with John Mackey, who was then the head of the John Howard Association, mm-hmm. or he was the head when TAMS closed. And I asked John, why did you close the work camp next to TAMS? I mean, I don't agree with closing the TAMS Supermax, but at least I could understand what the conversation was behind it and how it had kind of been, they lost their mission there for what they were really supposed to be doing. But the work camp right next door, there was absolutely no explanation for it. And John Mackey's response to me was, what work camp next door? And so we got into this conversation about how close it is. He said, well, how close is it? And I said, honestly, I could pick up a rock and hit the building from the Supermax over to the work camp. And the work camp is really needed, and it's a brand new facility. None of the equipment there was cannibalized. It's a little bit like Murfreesboro. You could do a couple, tweak a little bit of things and walk right in. So I'm going to try to get the work camp opened. I think if we go at this incrementally, maybe we can at least get some movement there. And it works towards the mission of what the Democrat Party seems to want to do within Department of Corrections, which is similar to what the Rauner administration wanted to do. And that's have more programming and put people back out on the street earlier. So the TAMS bill is going to be real important for me going forward. But I think the most important bill for Southern Illinois is, I believe that it is Senate Bill 37 or 38, and it's a bill I'm talking a lot about that has to do with telepsych. We've had telepsych in the Department of Corrections now for maybe 10 years or better. What it allows for treatment is that you can call psychiatrists not just all over the state, but even in other parts of the country. Where in the South here, we have a real need for mental health professionals. We just can't get them to come here. So if we're able to connect with good services for the opioid epidemic, for a lot of the mental health issues that we have here in this region, I think it's going to change the dynamics for us. So that bill has been filed. I was initially asked to be the chief sponsor of it. I don't have a lot of experience in the mental health field, so I suggested for the Republican side leader Tom Demmer. So Tom took that on for the Republican side, and I think it's going to, I believe Sarah Feigenholz has it on the Democrat side. I think that it's going to move. There's been a lot of work done to make sure that anyone who has a dog in the fight has been included in the conversation, insurance companies, mental mental health professionals, hospital association, all of those that had some apprehension towards this. I think we've worked out most of what their issues are, and I'm hoping that that's going to move forward very quickly. Very, very important for Southern Illinois healthcare and for SSM in the northern part of this district.
And just to be clear, you mentioned that this is being used within the Department of Corrections, but this would be for the entire population.
This is for the entire population of the state. My example is just simply that this is not something new within the state. It just hasn't been offered to the general public. There's been a lot of pushback on it. I'll tell you that my experience in corrections, I had a little bit of concern. You know, when you, for mental health professionals who are listening, they might think that I'm just, you know, ignorant on this, and that may be true. But in my experience in corrections, a lot of times you would have someone maybe had some tendencies toward hearing voices, you know, that kind of thing. And I thought, well, you know, sometimes they think the TV is talking to them. Is this going to make them, is this going to cause them to decompensate? And the reality is that they do very well because they know that it's real voices that are talking to them, as silly as that sounds. So they've had great results just using it in the Department of Corrections. I would love to see this open up. Can you imagine if we were able, say, in the Caro area or in parts of Southern Union County, in rural parts of Jefferson County and Jackson County, if we're able to get the mental health help that a lot of people need around here, it would, I think it would really change our opioid issues as well here.
We mentioned that it's still very early in the session, so there are not a lot of bills that are percolating. We also haven't yet heard from the new governor, Governor Pritzker, mm-hmm. on his budget priorities. The budget and the state of the state have not yet happened for the spring. So do you have thoughts? I mean, we've all heard the rumors. There are lots of opportunities to spend the money, and then options in terms of bringing in money. We've heard the legalization of marijuana, for example, an increase in the gasoline tax, an expansion of gaming across mm-hmm. the state, mm-hmm. in addition to some things that perhaps we've heard about before. What's on the table in your mind?
Well, I've been pretty vocal. You know, I'm an evangelical Christian. So to take the step towards doing what is termed a gambling expansion has been a big leap for me personally, but I'm been very clear that I'm going to support the bill as long as whatever the, I think last session it was Senate Bill 7, provided that Williamson County is included. I don't represent Williamson County, but I do represent Jackson County, and we all know that Walker's Bluff affects this entire region, and parts of it are in Williamson County, parts of it are in Jackson County. So I'm committed to making sure that that we get the license that is needed for this part of the state to ensure that Walker's Bluff is able to expand. It's 1,000 jobs. And let's face it, we don't have a lot of options even right now in this region. So that's 1,000 jobs in construction going forward, but it's also close to 1,000 jobs either at the facility or those that would be delivering. And it's outside money that will come in because that isn't just going to be a mini casino. That is actually a destination site with an indoor water park and so on. So it would be very important to us. And I would argue with anyone that you can't say there's gambling expansion in Illinois when you can go to any restaurant and there are slot machines in the other room. So let's just talk about the fact that within the state, it's just a matter of moving money around. So there is that option that's still open. Governor Pritzker seems to not be leaning in that direction, though. He seems to be leaning more towards the direction of legalization of marijuana, a progressive income tax, and probably increase in the motor fuel tax. So we'll break those down a little bit at a time. The increase in the motor fuel tax, I'm going to be holding some town halls in the near future, talking about some of these issues that are probably going to be quite controversial. I'd like to hear from people. It's pretty split right now. I think what I'm hearing from most people who ordinarily don't ever want an increase in any kind of tax, who happen to live on really bad roads or who have a bridge that's separating them from somewhere, Their response has been, I hate taxes, I don't want them. But with the lockbox in place now for the motor fuel tax, they said as long as they were convinced that it would go into the motor, into the lockbox and be used for roads and bridges, they might lean in that direction. There are other folks that just don't want new taxes no matter what. And we have to hear them as well. And so we're going to have to weigh this out a little bit. What are we going to get in return? And how would we safeguard it if that happens? So I have to listen to both sides of that argument. On the issue of legalization of marijuana, we also have, you know, it's kind of split. Sometimes it's split by religion. Sometimes it's split by just by age. So we have a faction of millennials and younger who really don't see any reason to continue to keep it illegal. We have a lot of evangelicals, the Illinois Family Institute, evangelical organizations that have a very good data that shows that it is a gateway drug. Then you'll have some other folks that say, no, it isn't. So again, we really have to listen to both sides of this. I'm leaning at no. I've been pretty absolute about the no on the legalization of recreational marijuana. I'd like to see us move in a better direction on the medical end. As I think all of your listeners know, my husband has epilepsy. Epilepsy Foundation of Southern Illinois, as well as the Epilepsy Foundation throughout Illinois, has been very supportive of that. And honestly, we're seeing great results on people who have dual diagnoses, where someone's diagnosis doesn't allow for medical marijuana in one case, but a different diagnosis does. I think I've talked to you in here before about a friend of mine who has an autistic son, severely autistic. He was able to get the medical marijuana for a different issue, and now he's able to drive. He can cook for himself now, and all of that is because they were able to use the medical marijuana to help him with the other issue. So before we move to legalizing marijuana for recreational use, I certainly want to take a really hard look at the data that has to do with what would happen to us societally. It was my intention to fly to Colorado with two other legislators and take a look at what's going on in Colorado so we could really, I could have an open look at what has resulted there. But when I talked to the legislator that was kind of putting that trip together, I spoke to her yesterday, she said, we're getting indications we may have to vote on this as early as next week. So we may not have time to go to Colorado before a vote is taken. Quickly on the progressive income tax, we know that there has to be a constitutional amendment in order to allow that. It is one of Governor Pritzker's main objectives. I am adamantly opposed to a progressive income tax. I am not one who believes that it would only affect the richest in our communities, and that I don't have any place to look at who would be affected other than the only brackets that we've seen, and that was in Representative Martwick's bill. And so everyone says, well, we're not going to use Martwick's. Okay, then show me one. Show me one that that tells me that it's not going to affect the people who make $7,000 a year. Don't be deceived by pie in the sky where someone says, oh, this is only going to affect the rich. Well, what's the line for rich? Okay, when my husband and I were making a combined $10,000 a year, we thought $10,500 was rich. And I know that's an extreme, but seriously, there are people who can't pay their bills right now who live very modestly, and the brackets that I've seen would affect them as well. And, you know, I really do think that we have to move very slowly on this. There are going to be some who argue that we should put it on the ballot so people can decide. But I think before we put it on the ballot so people can decide, they should have complete disclosure. Show us the brackets first. So because I'll tell you something. Figure out if you trust the people that are running Springfield. Because if you don't trust the people who are running in Springfield, don't trust them with this progressive income tax. If you vote yes on a progressive income tax right now, you're saying you're putting your full and complete trust in the people that are running the show.
I wanted to talk about one more thing when it comes to economic development. There has been talk for decades now about connecting the Carbondale-Murfreesboro region to the Metro East and into St. Louis, whether it's through a new interstate, or just a four-lane state highway. And I know you've been named in the Southwest Illinois Connector Task Force. Mm-hmm. Is there more momentum now? I mean, there's still no money from what I understand.
So what the task force was driven by Senator Schimpf, and it was because there has been a group of individuals who have been meeting for about the last 2 years. Certainly, there have been some groups that have been meeting for the last 20 years, but in the last two, it's been a pretty concerted effort between four counties, Jackson, Perry, Randolph, and Monroe, I believe, is the fourth one, because it would run from St. Louis through Waterloo, Columbia, Red, but a portion of that's already been completed, and then, of course, through Pinckneyville and then down to Murfreesboro and Carbondale. At SIU, the thought is that we would be able to connect ourselves with the Metro East. When we've had all this conversation going on between SIU Edwardsville and SIU Carbondale, wouldn't it be nice to be able to connect connect the two campuses better? However, there's a lot of pushback that does not want it. Number one, we have roads and bridges that are not fixed right now. So do we want to put money towards building another road when we're not able so far to fix the ones that we already have in disrepair? There are communities that feel like they would be affected negatively. When we look at the communities in Jefferson County, like Mount Vernon, Mount Vernon's growing very quickly. They're growing because 64 and 57 connects there. But people also have to go past Nashville, and there is some concern that if you have another road going from St. Louis to Southern Illinois, people will bypass those areas. So I did a non-scientific poll on Facebook the other day, and the non-scientific poll was 70-30 in support of it. It is an unscientific poll, and obviously I'm looking at some of the folks that commented as well. The comments were very negative. The poll numbers for that was 70-30 in support. So we're going to have to, again, this will be when I do the town halls, it'll be one of the questions that I ask for people. But the key thing in this is we strongly believe that President Trump is going to have an infrastructure bill. That's going to require us to have match money. When we went through our 2.5 years of gridlock here and had no budget, we missed out on hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars in matching money from the federal government because we didn't have a budget in place or no plan. We cannot, as a state, have no plan going forward on issues that are important as infrastructure. It's better to have a plan in place and then say, no, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to participate in that, but at least we have a plan. So if it's something that looks good for us, we're already at a place where we can jump into that. So I think the task force is, someone yelled at me on Facebook and said that I was only listening to the people who would go in my direction. And I said, I don't have a direction on this issue, thus the task force. So the task force is put in place, so we get everyone sitting at the table, IDOT, the four counties, the county board members, all the mayors that are involved, the legislature, congressmen. We want everybody at the table so we can officially, because the meetings have been very unofficial to this point, we can make an official recommendation on what should be done going forward.
Fair enough. As usual, lots more to talk about with not enough time, but we'll have you back again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.